From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series of studies in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of a message entitled, A Faith That Brightens Even the Grave, focusing on the death scenes of Jacob, Isaac, and Joseph. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, A Sound Heart. The text is Psalm 119, verse 80. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. We may regard this inspired prayer as containing within itself the assurance that those who keep close to the Word of God shall never have cause to be ashamed of doing so. See, the prayer is for soundness of heart. A sound creed is good. A sound judgment concerning it is better. But a sound heart toward the truth is best of all. We must love the truth, feel the truth, and obey the truth. Otherwise, we are not truly sound in God's statutes. Are there many in these evil days who are sound? Oh, that the writer and the listener may be two of this sort. Many will be ashamed in the last great day when all disputes will be decided. Then they will see the folly of their inventions and be filled with remorse because of their proud infidelity and willful defiance of the Lord. But he who believed what the Lord taught and did what the Lord commanded will stand forth justified in what he did. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun. Men much slandered and abused shall find their shame turned into glory in that day. Let us pray the prayer of our text, and we may be sure that its promise will be fulfilled to us. If the Lord makes us sound, he will keep us safe.
God, Lord, and he said that we will be.
anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? Or, how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it for you. Text for this message, entitled A Faith That Brightens Even the Grave, is found in verses 20 through 22 of Hebrews 11, verses which speak of the faith of three outstanding Old Testament saints, Jacob, Isaac, and Joseph. The passage records three death scenes, which reveal the expectancy and the confidence with which these men faced eternity. Dr. Cairns is focusing on three thoughts embodied in the verses: faith, family, and future. Through the testimony of these patriarchs, we see that the light of faith dispels the darkness of death. Christians are to live and die with their eyes on Christ. Certainly, the passage has a strong emphasis on family and the importance of leaving a spiritual legacy to our children. To see them saved and living for God is of far greater importance than leaving them only material things. Now, here is Dr. Cairns to bring the next portion of this message, a faith that brightens even the grave.
The psalmist said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." The shepherd's rod, the shepherd's staff, they comfort me. You see, these people of whom we have read were convinced that all the Lord had promised, he was able to perform. So, in their faith, we find that it lightened the darkness of death. They believed in death what they had believed in life. But I want you to notice particularly that their eyes were firmly and specifically fixed on Christ. Isaac, when he blessed his son Jacob, spoke to Jacob about the sovereignty that was so much a part of the Abrahamic covenant. The sovereignty of the line of Abraham. Well, you know, that sovereignty was in the seed, which was Christ. And Isaac was speaking of Christ preeminently. When Jacob came to die and blessed his grandsons, he spoke of the angel who had delivered him from his enemies and from death, and who would yet be the great blesser of Ephraim and of Manasseh. And that angel of the covenant is Christ. Joseph died speaking again of the covenant of God with Abraham. And Paul assures us in Galatians 3 that the essence and substance of the covenant was Christ. In every case, their eyes were fixed on Christ. You know, that's how to live. And that's how to die. Turn your eyes on Christ. When a man thinks of living, he'll not live right unless he's living by faith in Christ. When a man's faced with the thought of dying, and we all are going to die unless in the providence of God we live to the time, the moment of Christ's return, we all must die. You may not see 30 before you're gone. I have buried all ages, from infants in little white caskets that we carried tearfully to the grave. Indeed, from an infant who lived before birth and then died just before birth, through little children not long born, through children who had lived a little while, through young people, through those in their 20s and 30s, right through to people who had reached almost to the 100. I have seen them all buried. And I tell you this, my friend, we all must pass that way. You must pass that way. And you would do well to know that your eyes are on Christ. You can be a Baptist on that day. You could have been plunged in the water. It'll not extinguish the flames of hell. You could be a Presbyterian in that day, and you could love to sing the Psalms of David, as all good Presbyterians do. But your psalm singing would soon stop when you got to the gates of hell. You need Christ. You need Christ. He said, "Look unto me and be saved, for I am God, and there is none else." That was their faith and their hope that brightened the grave. Now we come to their family, because their faith led them immediately to their family. The departure of Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph in each case was a capstone of the testimony raised during their lives. The greatest legacy a parent can leave to children is the blessing of God. It's a wonderful sight to see these old men, and they're about to pass away. You can see death written all over their faces. Their bodies are physically weak. They're incapable now of laboring with their hands to do anything for their families. They're just about to go into God's eternity. But they have a legacy to leave. And it's the legacy of the blessing of God. Parents should always labor to ensure that their children are in covenant with God. We have, in the case of Isaac, actually a very sad aspect. He blessed both his sons. I'll come to his blessing of Esau in a moment. But he blessed both his sons. But only one is in the covenant of mercy. That was Jacob. Jacob, have I loved, Esau, have I hated? Isaac died with a divided family circle. That was not the result of his faith. The blessing they got was by faith, but it was by a lack of faith that he died with a divided family circle. You see, God's decree had been that the elder shall serve the younger. That is, that the priestly line would come through Jacob, that the messianic blessing would come through Jacob, that the double portion would be Jacob's. That was God's decree. Now, Isaac should have accepted that by faith. Just as it is today, so it was then. There was the law of what was called primogeniture, this blessing normally would come to the firstborn son. But God in his sovereignty had decreed, just as it was in the case of Abel, his blessing was with Abel, not Cain. So here, his blessing would be with Jacob, peculiarly. Isaac should have accepted that by faith. He should have explained the gospel covenant by faith, not only to Jacob, but also to Esau. He should have labored to lead Esau into an acceptance of God's mercy, as it was expressed in the Messiah promised through Jacob. The fact that God had decreed that the messianic line was in Jacob was no cause for Isaac or for Esau to fly in the face of God, or for Isaac to imagine that there was no spiritual blessing available to Esau. But you see, Isaac lost sight of all that until it was too late. Isaac indulged a carnal affection for Esau, while, of course, his wife indulged the same kind of affection for Jacob. Isaac encouraged the worldliness, the sin, what Paul calls the profanity of Esau. And Rebekah encouraged the twistedness, the deceitfulness of Jacob. When you get divided parents, one with their affection set on that part of the family, and another set on that part of the family, and they feel to bring them both to the expressed covenant grace of God in the gospel, then you have a recipe for disaster. It was the mercy of God that they saw any of their children saved. Ultimately, yes, God did quicken the faith of Isaac, and he blessed Jacob and saw him really converted. But what a tragedy indeed that the family circle was divided. Will the circle be unbroken by and by? That's a big question. You have rejoiced to bring children into the world. You have labored hard to provide them with a home, with clothes, with food, with education. You've sought to protect them from drink and from drugs. You've labored with all the strength that God could give you to do all these laudable things. And I wonder at the end, will you see some of them damned? A divided family circle. If that's your condition, I pray, God, that you will, A, make sure you are right with God yourself. B, that you will make sure that by faith you grasp the gospel to give it to your children. And C, that you do not allow any divisions in your home to alienate any of your children from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The frightening thing here is that these were the faults of good people. These were not the rascals, the spiritual riffraff. We're talking about Isaac, who stands so high that when God speaks of the covenant of grace in the Old Testament, and when he speaks of his covenant relation to man, he constantly says, I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. This is a man who stood in such close relationship with God that God took as a proper name to himself the name, the fear of Isaac. This is a great man. Spiritually a giant of a man. But what a mistake he made. In the midst of faith, there was folly. And he paid dearly for that folly. And so did his son Esau. Now he did bless Esau. And if you look at the blessing on Esau, it was a wonderful blessing. It promised riches. It promised the fullness and fatness of the land. And that's it. What a tragedy when all you have to leave to your family is your money. What a tragedy when there's nothing else you can give them but something they can put in a bank. You may leave them all the oil wells in Texas and they'll go to hell if that's all you've got to give them. What a tragedy. This is a time when Americans think of the richness of their land. And it is the richest land in the history of the world as far as its, at least the distribution of its wealth goes through its people. Poor Americans would be rich in most other parts of the world. Even you would be rich in most other parts of the world, believe it or not. You have to redefine poverty in America to make it mean something here, because it's so relative. Americans think of the richness of their land and the richness of their possessions. And they have every cause to be grateful to God for it. But don't get so hung up on those things that those are the only things you have ever to give to your family. That's all Isaac could give to Esau.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.